Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
Jesus talks longer to the woman at the well than he does to anyone else in all of the Gospels. Longer than he talks to any of his disciples, longer than he talks to any of his accusers, longer than he talks to anyone in his own family. She is the first person he reveals himself to in the Gospel of John. She is the first outsider to guess who he is and tell others. She is the first evangelist, John tells us, and her testimony brings many to faith. This nameless woman is coming to the well by herself in the middle of the day. Now, many, many people have speculated. They've almost enjoyed gossiping about her. Like, why is she going to this well by herself? Well, you know. And going at such a strange time of day. Respectable women made their trips to the well in the morning, and they would go in groups where they would greet one another and talk about the news. But this woman was one of the people they talked about. And so she came at noon because she wasn't invited to join them in the morning. She was an outcast among her peers. What's more, she is a Samaritan, and Samaritan and Jews hated each other for centuries. It's hard to articulate to you how much two groups of people hated each other. Samaria was full of all kinds of different groups of people with all kinds of different religious cults. It had been since the 8th century when the Assyrians invaded the northern kingdom of Israel, and over time, the Samaritans developed an uneven and bitter contest with the Jews. And so she was an outcast among the Jewish community and thus John's audience. Jews were not supposed to talk or interact with Samaritans, and men were not to converse with women. The woman walks up to the well with her pitcher, and Jesus approaches her and says, "Give me a drink." And I have to say, I think this is a little rude. He doesn't even say, "Please." He just says, "Give me a drink." And she looks at him and she says, "Are you seriously talking to me?" Jesus must be a fool or really thirsty to ask to take water from a Samaritan woman's water bottle. We don't share water bottles with anyone, and we definitely don't share them with cultures or people who are maybe a little less clean than we are. And Jesus is willing to put his mouth on her water bottle and drink from the water that she takes from the well. And if this sounds intimate and vulnerable, it should, because it is. This is where the conversation takes a turn, and they start talking about things on a more symbolic level. They are no longer talking about the physical water from the well, but a different kind of water, a living water. Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing out into eternal life." At this point, Jesus tells her to go get her husband, and she replies, "I have no husband." And Jesus acknowledges the truth. That's right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband. And there's the scandal. There's the judgment. Married five times and living with someone that's not her husband? I mean, shocking. Some scholars think she was a concubine or divorced or a harlot, but John never calls her a sinner, and John would have no problem calling her a sinner if she was. She easily could have been a product of society. While women had some legal rights, their fathers arranged their marriage to benefit the finances of their family. And women, if you call them women, they were girls of age 12 to 15 years old, often had little say about the match, and usually they were matched to men much older than they. Women could easily have outlived several husbands. According to Jewish law, only husbands could initiate divorce, which required no explanation or justification. Literally, a bad night of supper and you're out. Widowed or divorced, women were expected to remarry, and cohabitation was unacceptable in marriage in the first century. So her marital history was simply the consequence of her time and her place. While the cultural context lends little support for the Samaritan woman being promiscuous, the text provides much stronger evidence against it. The purpose of this text is not about her sexuality, as much as people enjoy thinking that over or assume that this is some kind of scandal, but rather it's on the conversation and the awareness that she gets that Jesus is more than the prophet. And here is where you need to highlight the text for the exam. She catches on who Jesus is much faster than Nicodemus ever does. The woman learns directly from Jesus about the true worship of God, and she understands the importance of this profound truth. And she says, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus does something very profound, very vulnerable. He says to a Samaritan woman, I, the one you are speaking to, I am he. Leaving her water jar at the well, the woman goes back to town and says to the people, you need to come see this man who has told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? And the people went to seek Jesus, and many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And they urged Jesus to stay with them, and he spends 2 days teaching them, and many more believed. The first disciple who preaches the first sermon about Jesus being the Messiah is a nameless Samaritan woman who lived a controversial life. The most unlikely person to know Jesus, to meet Jesus, and talk about Jesus was someone who wasn't looking for Jesus, who didn't know she was thirsty for something other than well water. The story takes place at a well, and it turns out to be a love story after all. Because only someone who loves you understands your deepest desires and longings, your true needs, and perhaps better than you yourself understand them. Only someone who loves you will look at your life with its innumerable wrong turns, disastrous decisions, and bad choices, and do it without blinking or criticizing or judging. That's what living water is. Living water is grace. Living water is unconditional love. Writer Anne Lamott, in her autobiographical book, Traveling Mercies, describes experiencing receiving God's love after Jesus told her everything she ever did. And what she had done and what she was going through at that time was not so good. When she had her encounter with Christ, she was ravaged by alcoholism and drug abuse and depression. And one day, while her life was falling apart, she laid on her bed and she tried to sleep. And she wrote, "After a while, as I lay there, I became aware of someone with me, hunkered down in the corner, and I just assumed it was my deceased father whose presence I had felt over the years when I was frightened or alone. The feeling was so strong that I actually turned on the light for a moment to make sure no one was there, and of course there wasn't. But after a while in the dark again, I knew beyond a doubt that it was Jesus. I felt him as surely as I feel my dog laying against me as I write this. And I was appalled. I thought about everyone and what everyone would think of me if I became a Christian. And it seemed an utterly impossible thing that simply I would not allow to happen. And I turned to the wall and I said out loud, I would rather die. But I felt him just sitting there on his haunches in the corner of my sleeping loft, watching me with patience and love, and I squinched my eyes shut, but that didn't help because that's not the part of me that I wasn't seeing him with. And finally, I fell asleep, and in the morning, he was gone. The experience spooked me badly, but I thought it was just an apparition born of fear and self-loathing and booze and loss of blood. But as I tried to escape it, everywhere I went, I had a feeling that a little cat was following me, wanting me to reach down and pick it up, wanting me to open the door and let it in. But I knew what would happen. You let that cat in one time, you give it some milk, and that cat's gonna come back. 1 week later, I returned to the church that I had been sneaking in on the back pew, hoping no one would see me, and sneaking out before the minister could get to the pulpit to begin the sermon. I was so hungover that I couldn't stand up to sing the hymns, and this time I stayed for the sermon, which I thought was just so ridiculous, like someone trying to convince me of the existence of extraterrestrials. But the last sermon was so deep and raw and pure that I couldn't escape. It was as if the people were singing between the notes, weeping and joyful at the same time. And I felt like their voices or something was rocking in my bosom, holding me like a scared kid. And I opened up to that feeling and it washed over me. And I began to cry and I left before the benediction. And I raced home, and I felt that little cat running along at my heels. And I walked down the dock past dozens of potted flowers under a sky as blue as one of God's own dreams. And I opened the door to my houseboat, and I stood there a minute, and I hung my head, and I said, I quit. And I took a long, deep breath, and I said out loud, all right, you can come in. So this was my beautiful moment of conversion. Do not be surprised if Jesus finds you wherever you are and gives you the love you need. Do not hold back from telling others about that love, that living, never-ending, living water. Lord, let me be your instrument, spreading sunshine in the land. Let people see your works in me. Help me live the best I can. It's my desire to live for you and to always walk upright. Give me the strength to face each day and stay with me through the dark night. Fill my cup. Let it overflow. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, May grace and peace go with you.